Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Today is Thursday, January 2nd, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Tuesday, you heard Sitka's 2013 year in review. Well, here's what our Coast Alaska sister stations chose as their top stories of 2013.
This is Shady Grove Oliver in Wrangell. 2013 started off with a rumble as a magnitude 7.5 earthquake shook southeast Alaska on January 5th. The quake damaged the fiber optic cables on the sea floor and disrupted internet, phone, and television service to Wrangell. Alaska's cable repair ship, the Wave Venture, spent a week off the coast making repairs. In February, the city finalized the purchase of a new 300-ton marine hoist for the Marine Service Center, which was also highlighted by Southeast Conference as an up-and-coming maritime facility. Also that month, the city reached a settlement in the year-long Wrangell Medical Center debacle. Noel Selray, the former CEO of WMC, was required to turn over the laptop and iPad he allegedly took from the hospital to a judge. Chubb, the hospital's insurance firm, is paying the city $250,000 in the settlement. Marla Sanger took over as interim CEO of the hospital this year and says she's working toward a better future for the hospital and the city. May saw perhaps the most notable moment of the year, the Shakes Island Tribal House rededication. Wrangell scrambled to accommodate the hundreds of visitors, dance, and canoe groups that came to participate in this historic event. And that spirit of cultural revitalization continued throughout the year. Wrangell hosted the CDC Traditional Food Summit in early summer, and in August, Tlingit was spoken in Old Town for the first time in 65 years during a language and culture camp. However, summer also brought sad news for the Wrangell timber industry and the Allen family. Mike Allen's sawmill, the last of its size in this former timber town, was destroyed by a fire in late July. 2013 also saw many changes in leadership. Rich Rhodes put in his letter of resignation as school superintendent, effective at the end of this school year. David Jack became mayor following the resignation of Don McConaughey, and Daniel Blake and Vice Mayor Julie Decker also took seats on the assembly. Jeff Jaybush took over from Tim Rooney as borough manager. Finally, after a lot of discussion, the assembly approved moving ahead with the transfer of the Tai'i Hydroelectric Facility from the Thomas Bay Power Authority to the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. Looking forward to 2014 and finally getting over laryngitis. In Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
This is Layla Carey in Ketchikan, where the year started off not with a bang, but with a jolt. A magnitude 7.5 earthquake hit off Prince of Wales Island on January 5th, triggering tsunami alerts and evacuations throughout southeast Alaska. The shakeup did not produce any significant tidal surges, but there were numerous aftershocks for weeks after the initial earthquake. In May, Ketchikan broke a world record for the largest rubber boot race when about 2,000 people, all wearing rain boots, gathered together and walked a mile in their wellies. Guinness World Record officials confirmed the new record in July. The cruise season was a busy one in Ketchikan, and among the visitors to Alaska's first city was Leonard Nimoy of Star Trek fame, who was cruising with his family. He took a quick moment to praise the last frontier.
We've had a fabulous time. It's a beautiful country, beautiful cities, great people. Fabulous time.
Not all cruise visitors had as good of an experience. About 2,000 passengers on board the Millennium were stuck in Ketchikan for several days in August after that ship experienced mechanical problems. The company eventually had to give everyone a refund and charter planes to fly them out. This past year was a good one for discoveries. An entomology student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks found a new species of insect on Prince of Wales and gave it a Tlingit name. A Forest Service geologist found a previously unknown volcano underwater near Misty Fjords National Monument, and a group of scientists found the remains of an ichthyosaur on Gravina Island. In fall, City of Ketchikan voters approved $42 million worth of bonds so that the community can upgrade its hospital. Voters also chose an 18-year-old high school student to sit on the Ketchikan School Board. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
I'm Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg, which officially changed from a city government to a borough government in 2013. At the start of January, the state of Alaska certified an earlier vote of area residents approving Petersburg's borough petition. A few days later, former city clerk, now borough clerk, Kathy O'Rear, swore in Petersburg's first borough assembly.
"You will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of an elected official for the Petersburg borough to the best of your ability."
Yes.
Many Petersburg residents headed for higher ground in early January after a large earthquake struck the region and prompted a tsunami warning.
"I haven't felt an earthquake before, so I actually thought it was a wind gust."
There were no reports of significant damage or injuries from the quake. A plane crash claimed the life of a visitor from New Mexico in early June. 66-year-old passenger Thomas L. Rising was killed when the Pacific Wing's de Havilland Beaver crashed on a steep, forested mountainside during a flight-seeing trip to Leconte Glacier. A family of five others and the pilot survived. Federal investigators have not yet released their findings on the cause. In a major criminal case in Petersburg this fall, Federal Bureau of Investigation agents filed child pornography charges against former school maintenance director Ty Leif Peterson. The longtime district employee quickly resigned just before he was arrested. He has pleaded not guilty and is awaiting trial. In fisheries news, Petersburg's large fleet of purse seiners had a huge year, targeting an all-time record return of pink salmon. And with help from the Keekskwan Dancers of Cake, more than 600 people celebrated the grand opening of Petersburg's brand new public library building in September.
"Ladies and gentlemen, the great day has come at last."
Downtown Petersburg was a construction site for much of the year as contractors tore up and rebuilt Main Street. The project was mostly finished by early August. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
I'm Casey Kelly in Juneau, where 2012 was marked by changes in leadership at City Hall, a lengthy double murder trial, and the tragic deaths of several young people. Kim Kiefer replaced a retiring Rod Swope as city manager in April. Kiefer grew up in Juneau and worked her way through the ranks of the city, serving as deputy manager for 6 years before being promoted.
"I've been very humbled by the outpouring of support I've gotten from the community, whether it's been in the grocery store, walking down the street, people stopping and saying, hey, we think you're the best."
The capital city also got its first new mayor in 9 years. Former Assemblymember Merrill Sanford was elected to the top post in October after running on a pro-business platform.
"We want people to come here and we want people to open stores here, no matter what the store is, and we want jobs here."
Outgoing Mayor Bruce Botello came up with an unusual way to fund more than $60 million in capital projects through a temporary sales tax extension and municipal bond package. Despite opposition from some in the business community, the measures were approved by voters. For 2 weeks in October, the news in Juneau was dominated by the trial of John Marvin Jr. The Huna man was convicted of ambushing police officers Anthony Wallace and Matt Tokuoka in the Chichagof Island community in August 2010.
"We, the jury, find the defendant, John Marvin Jr., guilty of murder in the first degree."
Marvin's attorney is challenging whether Officer Wallace was actually performing official duties at the time he was killed. A sunny weekend in June turned tragic when 16-year-old Savannah Casey died after a jet ski accident on Auk Lake. Casey's death sparked a review of motorized use on the lake that will continue in 2013. Casey was not the only young person from Juneau to die under tragic circumstances. In late November, brothers Casey and Kelly Newman drowned when their boat capsized near Tenneke Springs. Less than 2 weeks later, the Newman's hunting partner, Jimmy Brown Jr., who survived the boating accident, died in an alcohol-related incident. On November 5th, an entire city block on Franklin Street was threatened by the Gastineau Apartments fire. An investigation determined the fire was caused by an unattended candle. The building was deemed a total loss. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau with some of Southeast Alaska's top stories of the year. 2013 finally brought firm election boundaries to the region. A redistricting plan shuffled communities for the 2012 elections, but a judge ordered changes. The new boundaries move Haines to a district including downtown Juneau, Douglas Island, and Skagway. They also put Petersburg in, with Sitka and most villages.
We're all together, and we just need to make sure we're all paddling in the same direction so we don't get left behind.
Sitka Senator Bert Stedman is the only Southeast lawmaker not on the 2014 ballot. The other five incumbents have indicated they'll run again. At least three will face challengers. 2013 was another year for logging battles in the Tongass National Forest. Shelley Wright of the Southeast Conference introduced a plan to make more timber available for harvest.
Rather than set aside a big chunk for logging and a big chunk for no logging, open up all of the regulated set-asides and use it as a flexible forest.
On a different side of the issue, about 230 scientists petitioned Congress to protect more than 75 watersheds they consider critical salmon habitat. Also, an Oregon group released research saying there's enough second growth stands to keep the industry going without cutting older trees. Dominic Della Sala is with the Geos Institute.
The faster we could get the Forest Service to move out of old growth logging, the better it will be because the Tongass is such a global resource.
Meanwhile, new legislation to turn more timberlands over to the Sealaska Corporation came before Congress. New compromises brought an endorsement from a former foe, the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, but nine communities near the proposed selections continued their opposition. The Alaska Marine Highway System had some rough times in 2013, with breakdowns that canceled Lekaunte and other ferry sailings. It also restructured, hiring a new top official who oversaw a scaleback of plans for two Alaska-class ferries serving Lynn Canal. On the upside, the system celebrated its 50th anniversary. This is Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, where it's 37 degrees and a rainy morning. Have a good morning.